Hallelujah. Hold someone's hand. Let's listen together, our Father. In the name of your Son, Jesus. This morning, we receive the truth that is found in Christ alone. We ask and receive that the things that ought to be said will be said. The things that ought to be done will be done. Together as a church, we behold Jesus, your Son, as he sees us in him. He's glorified and we are edified. Amen. This morning we'll look at when is the miraculous? When is the miraculous? Just something about miracles. You know, sometimes even one who ministers miracles might not be conscious of how to receive miracles. You know, the things of God are taught. The things of God are explained. Christianity is based on knowledge. Jesus said, this is eternal life, John 17 verse 3, that they might know you. So the life of God is a life of knowledge. You know. 1 Corinthians 2, 9, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man. In fact, before then, Paul says that we speak this wisdom, 1 Corinthians 2, and verse 6, amongst them that are mature. He says, not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to nothing. So, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which was ordained before the world unto our glory. For none of these princes of this world knew it, for had they known it, verse 8, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 9, for as written, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered to the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. He says, what things know the things of a man, but the Spirit of man which is in him. So the things of God knows no man, but the Spirit of God. So we have received not the spirit of this world. Verse 12, 1 Corinthians 2. But the Spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Then he says, these things which we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but with the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with the spiritual. Then lets you know that the natural man, now the natural man in that instance is a man that doesn't believe, receives not the things of the Spirit of God, because they are spiritually discerned. He cannot know them, but they are foolishness unto me, pardon me, unto him, because they are spiritually discerned. He cannot know them. He said, but the spiritual man judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Who has known the mind of the Lord that he might instruct him? He said, we have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. In other words, we, in Christianity, we have come to know. It's a knowledge-based faith. Matthew's Gospel 28, Jesus says that you go into all the world and make disciples. Matthew 28, verse 19, of all nations. Then he says in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whoever I have commanded you, for lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So it's a faith that is communicated by knowledge. And so things are taught. If you look at the ministry of Jesus, and I've told you before, 75% of the time he was teaching. 75%. He was teaching. He's teaching. In fact, a prominent name he's given is a teacher. The rich young ruler, both ways, says, great teacher, or good teacher, he calls him. In John's Gospel 3, Nicodemus said, Rabbi, he calls him. Rabbi is a Jewish shorthand for those who explain the Jewish scriptures. Thou art a teacher sent from God. In Matthew's Gospel 7:28 and 29, He says they were astonished at his doctrine. Astonished. Why? Because he didn't teach like the scribes. He taught like 1 verse 29, who had great authority. So the breadth of his ministry was primarily preaching and teaching. Matthew's Gospel chapter 4, 23. He went from the villages and cities and the synagogues teaching and preaching the kingdom of God, healing all manner of sickness and disease and casting out devils. Same thing, Matthew 9:35. So the core part of his ministry was to teach. Now, it therefore means that Jesus wasn't just going from place to place and he just says, you got sickness on your body, be healed. You know, he was teaching. Oftentimes when we see the miracle signs and wonders, they are a product of having taught the people. Having taught the people. So in other words, there's a whole lot of emphasis on the teaching of the word. And so this morning, we want to look at the miraculous. When is the miraculous? Because you need to learn to identify when is the miraculous. Kenneth Hagin, Brother Hagin, used to say that, now somebody has asked me, why do we call him Brother Hagin? Now, this year, it'll have been 102 years that he was born. And that's quite some time. But you see, there are two Kenneth Higgins. There is Pastor Higgin, who is his son. Don't call him Kenneth Higgin Jr. He's 80 years. Oh, I think that's today. Yeah, he's 80 years today. Oh, that's interesting. He's 80 years today. That cannot be Junior, I think. Alright, so when we say Brother Higgin is a name that was taken. I think that's his name in the Book of Life. Because he's a Brother Higgin. You know, so, and that's the way it is. So, now, Brother Higgin, you say that there are some people, if the Holy Ghost were to wear a red hat and go across the street, they would not recognize him. There's something about being able to recognize when the power of God is in demonstration. And that's the essence of this teaching, this first service and second service. How to recognize it. How to recognize it. Some people don't know how to recognize it. When is a miracle? When is the miraculous? You can have people in the same place at the same time and they receive differently because of what they recognize. So you must know how to recognize and also receive the miraculous. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I like to ask questions. I once asked Brother Tokes, myself and Brother Tokes, we still spoke 2 times this morning, we spoke yesterday, we speak a lot. And then I asked him a question because I was bothered. That was some 5 years ago. I said, there was someone who was close to me who was in a condition, sickness I mean. There was another person that I never knew. I didn't know the person. And I said, the one I didn't know met me on Facebook. I still don't know the person. But got into a coma. Was sick. And told the cousin, I think, that reach out to Pastor Chris and mentioned, that's the name the person calls me, okay? And then gave the Facebook ID before she slipped into the coma. She was unconscious, coming and out. So the fellow reached out to me on Facebook and got my number from me. So I had to call the person on the phone and the person came out of it. And was well. And they would say, sir, can I share it? I said, don't share it. I'm not into sharing. I'm into you getting well. Now, I said, I didn't know the person. And I just spoke. In fact, I didn't exactly pray, because I remember that day, I don't want to say this, but I hope it will be good. There was an Arsenal game. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to say any more than what I just said. There's a life and the power of the tongue. Did I love it? You eat the fruit thereof. You want to sing a song? All right, guys. You want me to stop preaching and you sing a song? All right. So I just prayed. I just prayed in the name of Jesus. You know, you come out of it. I've had people sometimes, they call me and say, just say something, sir. And I say, sometimes I don't know what to say. I just say, I stand between faith, I believe, I receive, amen. I don't even know what they believe. And they come back and say, God did it. I'm fine. Oh. And so here is someone close by. And we prayed. I went to see the person. And I prayed. Now, I have been in the healing ministry for a while. Not long time, but a while. At least something close to 25 years. So it's not like it was the first time I'm going to see that. But I was, you know, when it comes closer home, you get a bit like, you know. So I asked him. I said, what do you think happened? I knew the answer, but I know he had more experience than I did. So I wanted him to say something that I knew in a better way. You know, that kind of thing. So he said, what does this person close to you, what does the person call you? I said, of course, because we're family, he'll call me my name. I said, exactly. What does the other person call you? He said, that's what worked. It can be so simple. You get it? He said, that's all. Then he gave me what Brother Higgins said. Okay? Of course, Brother Tolks cannot talk 5 minutes without Brother Higgins. So what Brother Higgins said, about this morning, I just called him. I said, I'm listening to a series now. I've forgotten. When did Brother Higgins teach this? He said, he gave me the month. He almost gave me the hour. I said, okay, thank you. That's what I want. Bye-bye. Don't tell me the shirt he wore. You know, he used to have the ability to quote all Kenneth Higgins books, word for word. You know, I mean, his books, like, when you can quote someone's book word for word, just let the person go. The person is possessed. What a follower. And so he said, what does the fellow call you? And I said, true. So how does that matter? He said, it does. Because oftentimes the way you refer to people is how you see them. The healing power or the miraculous could be very close by. I mean, right at your door. You didn't recognize it. Hallelujah. And of course, one of the reasons why I ensure that very regularly we teach the principle of honor. And I'm going to talk about that later on. In fact, while I was in the lobby waiting to come up, I was led by the Spirit of God to put out some nails on honor. Something else on honor. And I believe there'll be a book on honor this year. Praise the Lord. How many books are going to? Don't worry, there are 66 books in the Bible. Alright, so at least 66 books will come out every year. Say amen. You didn't say amen to that, did you? Anyway, so there's a way to recognize, and you need to realize also that, you know, the scriptures give us a pattern. And you can always see a pattern of things. So when is the miraculous? When is it? Look at Mark 9:23. Hallelujah. Now, you know the background of the story. This man, okay, brought, I'm going to start from verse 17. I brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit. And he describes what had happened. Then in verse 18, he says, I speak to thy disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. In verse 18. Then he says, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer with you? Bring him unto me. And he brought him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tore him and fell on the ground and wallowed for him. Then he says, how long is this? Since a long time, a child. And again, that presents a case for many of us sometimes when a disease or sickness or condition takes a while. One of the things you have to be very cautious of is you can get used to it. And you look at certain things you say. You know, I am diabetic. You know, that's a bit different from, I have diabetes sickness. Even though that's a shade lower than that. But I am diabetic. You know, I am, and then you, and you say, but I'm just being factual. Exactly, that's what I'm saying. You already identify yourself as diabetic. You can't say that what you said is the word of God. Even though what you said is what the doctor said. But that's not the word of God. The word of God cannot say, thus saith the Lord, you are diabetic. That can't be God's word. What you said, I'm diabetic. Someone told me, you know, I'm an ulcer patient. And I said to him, you are patient with ulcer. Because you're used to it. Actually, sometimes because the pain came the first time, then maybe you prayed or someone prayed for you, then it was still there. Then the second time, oftentimes we lose our resolve for a miracle when time passes. You lose your resolve. And so it says, from a child. Hallelujah. Are you there? Come on. So, watch this. Then he says in verse 22, oftentimes they cast him in the fire and the waters to destroy him. And if thou can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said, if thou canst believe. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. If thou canst believe, some things are possible. Now, of course, when he said all things are possible, I've taught you what all things mean. Doesn't mean any kind of thing you think about in your mind. He's saying all things, that is what you just spoke about. If you can believe, hallelujah, from the very lips of Jesus, he says, have compassion on us. But Jesus said, yeah, compassion is good. But it's not about compassion. I have compassion. In fact, the very miracle that Matthew, the very first miracle Matthew recorded in Matthew 8, the man says, if you will make me whole, he says, I will. I want to. Matthew's Gospel chapter 8, from verse 3 down to verse 5. So, he says, if you can't believe, all things are possible. In other words, Jesus is addressing his receiving. If you can believe, all you said, all you have required, all you have asked, is possible. Praise the Lord. If you can believe, all things are possible. What about putting that in your mind at this moment? Just think about it. And think about it being possible. You know, it's just a simple statement. If you can believe, all things are possible. Now, look at the Matthew rendering of that. Matthew 17. Matthew renders it with just some detail. Matthew 17. Verse 20. Because of your unbelief, Jesus says in 20. For I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, be removed hence yonder place, you shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now, of course, Jesus has a wider implication of his statements. But the immediate implication is this. If you will say, and therefore, when he says all things are possible to him that believes, you cannot believe without saying. You cannot believe without saying. You cannot believe without saying. You can say without believing, but you cannot believe without saying. So it's if you who believe. All things are possible. You discuss, come on, something like that. When the parents spoke about the case, he had many verses. And sometimes what is required is just something simple. If you can believe, all things that you just asked for is possible. That means it's possible to be healed. It's possible to get the miracle now. It is possible if you can believe. So, when is a miracle? When is the miraculous? He says, if you believe. And this is not believing the gospel. No. If you believe that your daughter will be healed. It's not if you believe that Christ rose from the dead. No. If you believe that your daughter will be healed. All things, Jesus says, it is all things are possible to him that believeth. All things are possible to him that believes. So, now, in other words, when it comes to miracles, what is a miracle? A miracle is a very simple word. It's a miracle in scripture means an actual work of power. An actual work of power. So when you see the word miracles and the word power, it's the same Greek word. You have dunamis, dunamos, just the same thing. A miracle is an actual work of power, also referred to it as the supernatural. So, the power of God, therefore, in demonstration. The power of God working in a situation. So, one of the first things about miracles is that it is not logical. Tell me a miracle. It's not logical. I told you yesterday that scientists, not just scientists, historians, they doubt the story of the Exodus because they confirm, how can people in 40 years go through a wilderness and there are no lights, no IPP, independent power project, there's no solar. Okay, there's solar, but it wasn't converted. You don't have water. You don't. Come on! No moving clinic. Nothing like that. You don't have a resident doctor with them all day. Well, they had one Jehovah Rapha, but they didn't have anybody who's a trained medical doctor. They don't have a medical doctor at all. There was no one doing their diet for them, checking what they were eating, and looking at the dietitian, and then nothing like that. You mean for 40 years, people were around a place for 40. It doesn't make sense. You know, and exactly what miracles are, it doesn't make sense. A miracle doesn't make sense. And I had said this to, now I've been having doctor friends for years, and I always give them this counsel. And it's a very good counsel I keep giving to them. Because they are used to treating patients with natural cures. And logical, you know, because the way they treat patients is very logical. They do their research, they do their tests, and they find out something in nature that can solve something in nature. So they find something in nature that can solve something in nature, they do the research, and then they, of course, the first study they do is, why did this happen? And then they say, how far has it gone? That means very deep exegesis and epignosis. Diagnosis. The other gnosis, gnosis, gnosis. And so, because of the depth they have in studying sickness and disease, very deep, the length, the breadth, and the height of sickness and diseases, they stand almost at the point where they would not believe miracles. It's just logical in their training. You get it? Yet, their wisdom is not of the devil. You see the point? It's not of the devil because you got to find things out. Jesus never called physicians terrible guys. In fact, in case you missed it, Paul had an associate pastor called Luke the physician. He wrote book of Acts and the book of Luke, and they were filled with miracles. Amen. So, you could be very logical. You know, sometimes when I have doctors go lay hands on the sick, and I say, what happened? They say, they often don't say, he is healed. They say, there's improvement. You know, that's the language that they learned in school. There's some improvement. No. He's healed. Hallelujah. You get it? There's some improvement. Because they want to hack it. Because they are used to people coming every 5 days. Come in 3 months, we'll check you again. Come in 2 months, we'll check you again. Take this for 2 weeks and this for 2 weeks. But it's a miracle. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. So, a miracle is an actual display of power. And it's supernatural, which means it is not the natural means of things happening. Say a miracle is supernatural. Excellent. So, it is supernatural, first thing. It's the actual display of the power of God. So, which means when things are impossible in the natural, and there is the power of God to intervene, that is a miracle. When it is impossible in the natural. That is, logically speaking, it's impossible. In natural, a miracle is that which happens that is not logically explained. Hallelujah. All right. That's what a miracle is. It's not logically explained. Which means that when I receive a miracle, or when is the miraculous, I am not logical. I'm not logical. I'm not trying to calculate because it's a miracle. It's not logical. So I'm not trying to calculate what I'm thinking. I'm saying, the power of God is working. That is a miracle. Hallelujah. The power of God is working. Say, the power of God is working. That's a miracle. So it means that a miracle suspends natural processes. It suspends it. It's that instantaneous, spontaneous suspension of the natural course of things. For example, there's a growth that should keep growing and then get to this point, and then it stops. It stops because the power of God stopped it. It didn't stop because that's the usual course of things. It stopped because the power of God stopped it. Someone was due for a surgery and came to me with the lab report. Sorry, the X-ray. And I said, "What do you believe for?" And she said, "A miracle." I said, "Yeah, there you have it. We believe together, there you go." What do you believe for? A miracle. Now, this is what the surgery said. The report says. The report says you are due for this, you are due for that, you are due for that. That's not evil. That's just a natural course of things. So, now, obviously, you need a miracle because the natural course of things is unpredictable. And so you need a miracle. So, when is a miracle? When I believe for it. And she didn't need that surgery anymore. Now, does it mean those who go for surgery have sinned? No. I didn't say that. I've even had someone who had hernia. He had hernia. And he said he was due for a surgical operation. That was 2001 or so. Or maybe later on. Then was one of our meetings and I prayed. It was actually his brother. And I prayed for the brother on a cloth. And he now called me and said, "Sir, does he still need to go for the surgery?" I said, "Why not?" Now, oftentimes, this is for ministers. When that question is asked, don't give people what to do. I said, "If he wants to, why not?" So I did. They got to the surgical table. Unfortunately so, they opened the boy up and didn't see anything again. You get it? So what, Pastor? They said they didn't see it. I said, "We believe for it." Hallelujah. You also, we're going to talk about it most in the second service. You need to fill your mind more with those who receive miracles, not those who did not receive miracles. You must delete from your mind. Some of you have a lot of things to delete from your hardware and software. Many times there are things in your mind. Now, in teaching God's word, just teaching of God's word, sometimes when I explain certain things in scripture, someone says, and they're like days beyond measure. I said, really, if you look at what I just explained, it was very simple. The problem you had was what was in your mind before. So, sometimes you actually just delete things. And so, a believer must consciously stay away from negative reports. I use the word again, consciously. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So, what is a miracle? I'm making it very simple for you. It means the power of God suspending a natural course of things. That's what it is. Is there anything wrong in natural things? No. But when the natural course of things is not the desired expectation, which means you believe for a miracle. Look at Luke 1:37. If you can believe, Now you know the story. The angel comes to Mary. Not if you can believe, sorry. I quoted something else. And they had this conversation. And the angel said, with God, nothing shall be impossible. That's what the angel said. Of course, the red Greek rendering is, no word of God lacks power. No word of God lacks power. And it's very simple. By the time you look at the 38th, Mary now said, be it unto me according to your word. No word of God lacks power. Or let's put it like this. No word of God lacks the ability to perform. Why? Because the angel brought to her words from the scriptures. So no word of God lacks the ability. Now look at that miracle. You know, in the natural course of things, a man should have sexual intimacy with a woman, husband and wife, and then should naturally fertilize her eggs, then it becomes fetus, then it grows, becomes a child. That's the natural way to do things. But this is God coming into man, and therefore, it didn't happen like that. So, was that a miracle? Exactly, it was a miracle. Now, sure, how did it happen? He says, the power of God will overshadow you. You can't have miracles without the power of God. So it's not luck. It's not happenstance. It's not coincidences. No. A miracle is deliberate. The power of God is in demonstration. Are you there? Come on, guys. Are you there? The power of God is in demonstration. Now, this is the four Gospels. Of course, if you read the four Gospels, you have a good number of miracles. Now, the book of Acts equally has a lot of miracles. From Acts chapter 2, verse 43. Acts chapter 3. The crippled man at the beautiful gate. Acts chapter 5. Shadows of Peter. Acts chapter 6 verse 8, Stephen did miracles amongst the people. Acts chapter 8, you find Philip went out to Samaria and preached Christ, verse 5, 6, and 7. Acts chapter 9, Aeneas among the saints, you also have Dorcas. Acts chapter 14, Paul and Barnabas. And you go on and on and on and on, till Acts chapter 28. So the book of Acts is full of miracles. Acts 19 as well. Now, what about the epistles? One of the things that Paul records as an information for us to know that is in the church is the working of miracles. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 10. Say, working of miracles. Say, working of miracles. Very fine. In 1 Corinthians 12, 28, it says, some in the church, he also said, miracles or working of miracles. 1 Corinthians 2, 28. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, Paul says to the church in Corinth, he said, look, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in patience, 2 Corinthians 12, 12, signs and wonders and mighty deeds. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 5. Yes, Paul? Paul says, he that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles amongst you. That's the believers, among the believers. So he speaks of miracles. So the first thing is this, and we hear this. What were miracles for? Just let me tell you briefly. Miracles are a sign of the resurrection of Jesus. Either before it or after it. Miracles are a sign of the resurrection of Jesus. John 20, 31. John said why he wrote the miracles or the signs is so that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and in believing you may have life through his name. In Mark 16, after he rose from the dead, he said, "This sign shall follow them that believe." Verse 17. Mark 16, 20. The Lord, "And they went forth everywhere and preached the word, and the Lord walking with and confirming it with signs following." So whether before he died or after he rose, signs and miracles are evidences of his resurrection. A friend of mine called it this way in the blacksmith. He said they are a foretaste of immortality. Miracles are a foretaste of immortality, a foretaste. They're not a full taste, but they are a foretaste. So have that at the back of your mind, which means miracles can never be an end. They are always a means to an end, but they are interventions in natural occurrences. So we have the miracles of healing. We have the miracles of provision, for example, in Luke 5, where Peter says, "We have caught nothing." And Jesus says, "Catch your net to this side." And when he said that, there was a big catch. In John chapter 6, "Children, do you have any meat?" He said, "We caught nothing." And then he also told them, "Cast your net to this side." And they got a great catch. In John chapter 6, he asked them that, "How can we feed this folk? You have just one boy who has just 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus gave thanks, and then it was distributed among the people, and you know, all that and all that happened. So we have that in the 4 Gospels. Now, therefore, what has happened? What has happened is that the power of God was in actual display. The power of God suspended a natural course of things. It did. It suspended a natural course of things. The question is God's power always available? Yes. Take that again so it makes sense. God's power is always available. Now, again, hear this. And hear it very well. And this is how I share with people about miracles and the things of God generally. Now, look at the children of Israel when they left Egypt going to Canaan. By their number, they were close to 3 million. 3 million is a large number today. And by history, only two people believed what God said. Two. I'm sure the two will initially look insignificant. So do not in any way weigh the power of God or the word of God based on a number, whether in a large or a small number. Take God at his word, independent of others. Take God at his word, independent of others. You still there? Are you still there? Now, I'm going to pick out some specific details in the 4 Gospels. I want to make it very simple for you to see. So, say with me, "I can believe for a miracle." You know, that statement is not peculiar to Christians. A man who is not a Christian can believe for a miracle. We saw that in the 4 Gospels. We saw that in the Old Testament. Even in the book of Acts. So, when God's power is in demonstration, I can believe. I can believe for a miracle. I'm going to take 2 examples, and they are back to back. It's deliberate the way they are. Mark 5. The woman with the issue of blood. That's what we call her. You must have a ready attitude towards the miracles. Already, in other words, there must be an attitude you wear all the time that is ready for the miraculous. Remember one day, I was talking to someone who was in the natural, and the guy said, it will only take a miracle. He said it like, you know the way people talk, it will take a miracle for it to happen. I said, that's what I believe. He looked at me like a joke. I wasn't joking. I said, I believe in miracles. Anybody like me here this morning? I believe in miracles. I believe in miracles more than my feelings. What about that? I believe in miracles. So, let me just say a few things. The power of God is creative. The power of God is restorative. Creative means it wasn't there, so it's put there. Restorative means it was there, it was lost. The power of God is creative, and the power of God is restorative. It can create what wasn't there, and it can put back what used to be there. It's also curative, to cure. So, have that at the back of your mind. And for much of what we read, we have a lot of things in the media. And sometimes it's, now, I know some fake teachers who I believe in do discourage believers from reading too much in the media. And I get the point. Sometimes, what dominates your mind will direct what you believe for. Now, if you know this, you know it. Ask someone, I said, did you notice that if you go, for example, to a village where there's not much education, not much information, not much of the media, it seems to be that those people are quick to believe the power of God and the miraculous more than those who are in the cities. Now, there are two tendencies to that. The first one is maybe some of them were into idol worship, where they actually believe in the supernatural. The other thing is, they don't have Facebook accounts. They don't have Twitter accounts where they read different information that not necessarily are inspired by the Spirit of God. So, by the time you say, God can do it, then, boom! But when you say, God can do it, and 8 stories come to your mind immediately. Things you saw on your timeline, on your Twitter, things you read, things you learned in school. You just say, amen, religiously. Yes. You say, God can do it. Praise the Lord. So I said, why do you think those folks are quick to believe? Why? Because there's not much they believe that will be a problem. Are you still there? Are you still there? So the power of God is creative, curative, and restorative. Praise God. Now, I know we have lying wonders, but you know, I have a way. I believe in miracles. I first believe a miracle. There was a guy who was sharing with me. He thinks that most of the testimonies people share today are not true. And it was experienced. I said, you've come very, very late. He said, why? Because I have been healed before. So you're talking to the wrong person. He said, hey. I said, not one so. And mine was a life-threatening one. So it's not like I had backache. You know, that one is backache. You can speak your backache and say, well, if I rest, if I use, what do you call this thing? A bony key, or what do you call it? A bony key. You know? But when they tell you, man, oh boy, it's 50-50% chance. And then the doctor who told me was not even fair, was not nice. He now said, there is a prime minister, he mentioned the country. Now, when you see yourself as prime minister has money. He said, he killed you, but let's just see how it goes. So, I said, you are talking to the wrong person. You have just spoken to the wrong person. The way it happens, healing miracles. I said, you are talking to the wrong person. So, sometimes, it's the kind of, and which means that we must also deliberately create an atmosphere of miracles, of faith in God's word, where you believe God's word without a doubt. Always create an atmosphere for miracles. Where what is around you ensures it's easy to believe for it. Amen. Look at Mark 5. So there's this woman, we call her with the issue of blood. She has been sick. You know, when you say someone has been sick for many years, and Mark now records it. Now, it's a story I know you've read. You probably thought from it. You probably even shared with us. Mark says she's been sick for 12 years. Now, you know what 12 years is? She has an issue of blood 12 years. 12 years is 30, how many months now? That's 396 months, right? Am I right? What is it? That's 12 times 12. That's 144. 144 months. Imagine going to a doctor, doctor's appointment, every 2 weeks, 144 months. That's 288 appointments. You know, that's quite some depth. And she never grew better. She grew worse. Why were the number of years mentioned? So that you can see what the power of God can do. Hallelujah. Those details are not frivolous. And she's a Jew, which means that she isn't hearing about healing for the first time. A long time. But you know, God's power can work. I said, God's power can work. Some can say, if God will heal you, He will have healed you the first year. Those kind of things, you remove them from you delete them from your files. Hallelujah. 12 years. She didn't go better, she grew worse. It's very likely that she'll be in the hospital bed, and then the medical students will come around. Then the consultant will say, when they do consultant ward round, this woman has ololosis calasosis. It's usually a case of the blood, irregular, something. It's congenital. She didn't discover it on time. That's why she's this long, you know. And they're writing notes. And you are listening to what he's saying to them. And though we've applied this, what do you think we should apply? They'll say, well, what would you say? When do you think she will die? And she heard all of that. She grew worse. I've seen doctors drop their head like this. When they do, well, I'm not talking about Nigerian movies. He's done that, I'll say, ha! Oh, I'm sorry. You know, just say, she didn't go better, she grew worse. Hallelujah. But when she heard of Jesus, now what did she hear? It's vital. I'm sure she didn't hear what some of us probably will have browsed. That guy, a false teacher. That guy who was born, we don't even know his father. You know? And you think you are full of knowledge. You are full of the wrong information. She heard of Jesus, which means she heard the sick get healed when he prays. That's the right kind of information. That people get healed when they believe. What about that's the only thing you believe? You know, you can choose what you believe, and you can choose what you don't believe. You can choose what you believe, and you can choose what you don't believe. She heard about Jesus. And she came in behind the press, for she said, if I but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. Now, the truth is, that wasn't the first time that people would touch the hem of Jesus' garment. That happened in Luke 6 already. Luke 6, that should be verse, is it 19? No, Luke 5. Just got that wrong. That's Luke 5, verse 14. People did touch the hem of his garment. Yeah, Luke 5. Sorry, verse 15. What did I just read? Sorry, Luke 6, I think. What am I reading? Luke 6:19. Sorry. That was the first scripture I quoted, right? Huh? See, doubt. I doubted. Why did you doubt? Did you get it? So, she did touch his clothes. So she said, wow. You know, some guys say, what's this nonsense? How can I touch someone's clothes? Is he God? She didn't hear that. She didn't allow her phone to store that information. She heard, if I touch his clothes, I will be whole. Hallelujah. That's quite something to say for someone who has been sick for 12 years. Imagine you've taken all the medication. So if someone comes to your room is qualified to be a chemist. And then you have all those drugs on your cabinet. You have all those medication you take every 5 hours. And then all that you say is, if I touch his clothes, I'll be whole. He looks so simple and illogical. You are used to a process. Morning, afternoon, evening. Then all you're saying, if I touch. You know, that's not logical. Doesn't make sense. I will be whole. And Luke paints it in such a nice way that just about that, some people had come to Jesus and said to Jesus, sorry, Jairus had come, my daughter is at home lying at the point of death. So in other words, they were, you know, getting Jesus to Jairus' house. They was going, hey, pass, move. All the pastor's protocol, the membership was, it was, guest ministries. Please, let's pass or pass, please. And he's going. And right there is the power of God. I'm sure even the apostles, the 12, didn't know that that was a miracle. There was a miraculous there. They didn't know. They just move. And somewhere touching his clothes. And everybody starts to say, hey, just don't do this. So let him go. We're going to Jairus' house. In other words, Jesus set his mind house of Jairus. And this woman said right in her kitchen, right when she's driving, if I touch his clothes, there's nothing special about that. I will be whole. If I do. That's what she said. And she did. And the Bible says, straight away, the fount of her blood ceased. Jesus, knowing himself that virtue had left his body, said to her, who touched me? And then the apostles went, Master, is it rhetorical? Is it a figure of speech? Is it a parable? Who touched you in this crowd? So who touched me? Then the woman came and she said all that happened. Jesus said, go, daughter, your faith has made you whole. That's quite obvious because Jesus was going forward. This woman, by our faith, brought him backward. In other words, our faith gave direction to the power of God. Say, my faith can give direction to the power of God. What about if I say, the power of God is working in my bones now? Power of God is working in my chest now. Power of God is working all over my body now. Power of God is strengthening my body now. You know, she didn't get it when she said it. But she got it eventually. Because the Greek says she kept saying. She kept saying. She kept saying it. Power of God is walking in my body now. If I can heal and cure, power of God is walking in my body now. Power of God is walking in my body right now. Glory to God. Glory to God. If some of us were as diligent as we are in speaking the word, as we are when we take medication, we'll walk in the power of God. So someone said, I said, you took the drugs 4 times a day. Say, yeah. And you spoke the word almost half-heartedly and left it that way. What if you gave the same diligence? Power of God is working in my body, effecting a healing and a cure. What if every time a headache comes to you, a backache, a stomach pain, what if the first thing on your mind is the power of God? Is that the first thing on your mind? I can be healed. What comes to your mind first? There's pain on your body. What comes to your mind first? Jakes, allow those outside coming. I want everybody to hear this. What comes to your mind first? If someone calls you and says, Tyle, I've been on the bed for 6 days. What comes to your mind first is what has been dominant in your thinking. What comes to your mind first if there is an impossible situation in the natural? Now, when you know what comes to your mind first, it shows what has been dominating your thinking. So, what comes to your mind first? For she said, when she heard of Jesus, for she said, if I but touch his clothes, I'll be healed. So, Jesus is going forward. In other words, power going this way. Faith brought it backwards. She believed for it. She believed for it. And for you to know, she wasn't a known figure. He said, a certain woman. So she wasn't, you know, one of those people known around. A certain woman, that is one kind of woman like that. And she said, I remember one time, I was teaching somewhere. I wasn't planning to lay hands on anybody. And this happened recently in Benin. I was blind. I just thought. So I now use someone as I was just talking and I put my hands on someone's shoulder and said, you know, the power of God is here. I wasn't going to minister to the sick. And then she said, I actually had half of my body wasn't working. And I said before the service that you were going to lay hands on me. Now, did I lay hands on her? No. Did I put my hands on her? Yes. Did she get healed? Yes. Because she said it. It's not unlikely that those who went with me to that meeting maybe had their own headache. But they didn't say it. When is a miracle? When you receive the power of God. When you receive the power of God. When is it miraculous? When you receive the power of God. She said it. And now look at what happened afterwards. Jairus' daughter, within that period, now had been reported to have died. I want you to observe something in the two instances. For the woman, she had suffered many things of many physicians. In other words, she had enough report of the doctors. Enough report of the doctors. She got the details of the case. I've seen people that they got sick so well that they became doctors. They will tell you, I almost said botanical name. She became very astute. So she heard, or she had, the reports of the doctors. So, when it comes to the miraculous, you will always have something in the natural saying otherwise. She heard the report of the doctors. In the case of Jairus, as in verse 35, they came and said to Jairus, and Jesus heard it, "Thy daughter is dead, why troubles thou the master anymore?" So, you must learn to deal with contrary information. That information can come from doctors, they are not evil, can come from friends, sometimes it can come from your own feelings. Don't trouble the master anymore. It doesn't get worse than that. You are believing for your daughter to be healed. You are told she's dead. And she, not just that, those guys added salt to the injury. Don't trouble the master anymore. And so, here's Jesus. He immediately heard it. Now, Mark is very precise in the way he uses words. Immediately Jesus heard it, he turned to who? Jairus. Do not be afraid. Only believe. Look at the word immediately. You deal with contrary thoughts when? Immediately. You know, Jesus never said, "You guys should shut up. What are you talking about?" He didn't even say, "I reject it in Jesus' name." That's not necessary. Immediately he said, "Don't be afraid. Only believe." You deal with contrary information, immediately it comes. Someone said, "I have this headache. I think it's even becoming migraine. See where your thoughts took you. You have this headache. Number one, it's a possession. Number two, you think it's becoming a migraine. You become your own self doctor. Doubt has turned you into a doctor. Why not? There's this pain on my head, but God's power is working. God's power is working. Effecting a healing and a cure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah." That's what he said. And you know, speaking God's word is not to boast before others. You see, you're speaking God's word and believing for a miracle is not for others to chat, "I like that guy, he talks what." No! It's for you to receive. It's not for others to hear, it's for you to receive. Hallelujah. Hope you are learning something here. So, learn to deal with contrary information. Learn to deal with contrary information. Contrary information. In other words, you must be ready for miracles. You must always be ready for miracles. You must always be. Where is God's power? God's power is in His Word. God's power is in His Spirit. God's power is when believers come together. You can always identify God's power. And I'm ready for miracles. Amen. Look at the four things the woman said. For she said. For she said. Or she kept speaking. We're not told for how long. We're not told for how long. For she said, for she kept speaking. If I may but touch his clothes, I will be whole. For she said, or for she kept speaking. Or she kept singing it. You know, she won't be joking around it. Someone was telling me how she's believing God for a miracle in her body. So I checked her up back then in the 90s, I think. And then I saw in her house were movies. Movies. I said, you are really believing God. You are believing for a miracle. And you are watching movies that are likely going to show you hospitals and people that are going to die. I thought I'm going to see testimonies of healing and miracles around you. I thought I was going to read, I'm going to see on your table, you know, you know, the teachings and, you know, materials about divine healing. I didn't see that. I'm seeing Usofia in America. You really are believing. I can see it. Your faith is strong. You're not a serious person. You must surround yourself with an atmosphere for the miraculous. For she said, she kept saying, she kept singing. If I may but touch his clothes, I will be whole. I will be whole. That's what she said. Now, because of what I'm teaching, I just want, let them come inside. For this, just for today. If I may but touch his clothes, I will be whole. She said that. She said that. Praise God. How often do you speak God's power? And speak God's power. I always tell people, try and record what you say during the day. You will be shocked at many things you say. I mean, if you put a recorder and record what you say. Now, let me ask you. If you find out that you will always have what you say, how would you be talking? And then you record your words. You know, it's lovely to say in church and say, hallelujah, what a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. And you're happy, hey, hallelujah. You know, that's singing. People often don't believe what they sing. Even when you see some songs, you see how it's contradicting itself. So they don't really think about it. It's what you say when you step out of the auditorium on a Monday morning. On a Tuesday afternoon. Or Wednesday. Wednesday is usually very tough. The week has moved. What are you saying? Hallelujah. Because church meetings have a feeling of everything is good. The power of God is here. It's when you leave church meeting. Do you surround yourself with that kind of atmosphere? She said, I will be whole. Second thing she did. She acted on what she said. You cannot talk faith and act doubt. She acted on what she said. She acted on it. She touched. She did it. She did it. She did it. The third thing she did, she received it. She received it. Now, somebody will ask, but she heard. There's nothing in what you are hearing. There's no action on your part when you are hearing. It's what you do to what you heard that is called faith. What you do to what you heard. Amen. She said. So have that attitude around you. When is the miraculous? When you believe that you receive. That's the miraculous. When is the miraculous? When you believe that you receive. Now look at the Jairus' daughter. And Jairus heard it. Jesus said, don't be afraid. Only believe. There's something that happens. He goes to his house and finds people crying. And they are crying and he says, she's not dead. She's only sleeping. And those guys began to laugh him to scorn. And what did Jesus do? In verse 40, he took them all out. Learn to take out contrary information. Take out contrary information. Don't forget how we started. A miracle is illogical. A miracle is not something that makes sense. What makes sense is what is logical. But a miracle is not logical. Somebody says, I've been sick for 12 years. Then she now says, if I touch his clothing, I will be whole. You know, that's an illogical statement. You have been sick for 12 years. If I touch his clothes, I'll be whole. If he says, well, I know that in the next 3 years, you can understand that, yeah, next 3 years, 12, 3, 9, just 9. But if I, that's illogical. But that's what a miracle is. That's what a miracle is. That's what a miracle is. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what a miracle is. You need to delete from your mind any logic, anything that is so logical that makes it difficult for you to believe the power of God. I believe the power of God. I believe the power of God. Do you know that that attitude even goes to people when they preach? And then somebody, maybe the guy is smoking hemp. Then they preach, the guy says, I believe. I'm born again. You know, somewhere in your mind, you'll say, Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, there was someone who told me that, sir, the person was in the ministry, sir, can you lead me to Christ again? What doubt? Already in ministry. And made me actually cause her to say it. Okay, I believe Jesus died for my sins. I believe. You know, that can be such a doubt. The power of God is working. Amen. Some can even say the power of God has worked. And I'm whole and healed. Amen. When is a miracle? A miracle is the power of God in demonstration that suspends a natural course of events. In the miracle of God's power, you can have God preserve you. We'll talk about that in the second service. Always be ready for the miraculous. God's power is not available. Always be ready for the miraculous. The miraculous is not an everyday thing. You live, you drive, you go from place to place, you eat. But when the natural fails, and it's obvious it has, never see it as a conclusion. You can believe God that His power will work. I believe in miracles. I believe in miracles. Hallelujah. I believe in miracles. Salvation is a miracle. Forgiveness of sins is a miracle. The death of Christ, His resurrection is a miracle. So why would I not believe in miracles? The gospel itself and the power thereof are miraculous. So I believe in miracles. To say I don't believe in miracles means you don't believe the gospel that you believe. I believe in miracles. 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 Remember my theory. You have to, some of you have to say 5,000 times. Till what nonsense you used to say before. You do cancel. I believe in miracles. Some of us probably have to do an all night to say this. I believe in the power of God. I believe in miracles. I believe in miracles. God's power is working. God's power is working. You know, there can be emergencies. Emergencies. Just say, God's power is working. God's power is working. God's power is working. You know, God's power can also preserve and protect you from evil and harm. Where your calculations have failed, God's power is working. God's power is working. Amen. You have read so much about kidnappers. Do you get it? You now know, you are now thinking how to avoid kidnappers. Nothing wrong in that. Because you have a brain to think. You get it? But then, don't let that be the dominant thought in your mind. What if your thinking fails? Surround yourself with an atmosphere for miracles. God's power is working. God's power is working. Amen. I said something earlier. I said, when you have a pain on your body, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? I believe in miracles. Now, you know you can have people very close to you that they are enough to discourage you. Now look at what Jesus did. He got those guys out. Some of us have to clean out many things. Things you listen to regularly. When I was going to believe God at some point for a miracle that really was a life-threatening case, I shut out from everything. Shut out. I just went back to some basic truths about miracles and divine healing. For 2 weeks or more. Just shut out. You know, because it's serious business. It's not at that time you go gisting. And then you now hear things, then you now say, it's true. So I say, that's how someone prayed. He prayed though, but we don't know how God did it. You know, God is God. He's God all by himself. We cannot question him. You hear things like that and your mind go, kakum. And if you hear, but I believe in miracles. I believe in miracles. I believe in miracles. So surround yourself with an attitude of the miraculous. Don't have friends who don't believe in miracles. Have people around you who believe in miracles. Who believe the power of God can suspend natural things. The power of God can suspend natural things. Amen. You know, a baby can be healed by the power of God. A child can be healed by the power of God. Amen. I told you, an unsaved person can be healed by the power of God. How much more you and I? I believe in miracles. I believe in miracles. I believe in miracles. What if I have a need? And I have a financial need. And I have a very crucial financial need. I can also believe in miracles. I can believe in miracles. I believe in miracles. My needs are met. My bills are paid. Philippians 4:19, God supplies all my needs according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. Does that mean it will cause men to give to me? Yes, it will. I believe for it. I believe for it. I believe for it. I believe for it. Oftentimes I tell believers, if you can keep in mind even your own personal testimonies of God's power working on your behalf, just think through it. Just be the one to think through it. You see another one. You see another one. But some of us have outgrown miracles. We are now very logical. Don't outgrow miracles. Believe for it. Believe for it. Believe for it. Believe for it. God's power is working. God's power is working. Working on my behalf. Suspending the natural course of things and bringing in a miracle. A miracle is working. A miracle is happening. A miracle is happening. A miracle is happening. A miracle is happening. That means that thing that was flowing can stop flowing. And it ceases that very minute. I remember a lady. She had been having this same issue of the issue of blood since she was very young. Very young. In fact, her name was Mary. I remember now. Very young. And just as I was sharing what I'm saying now, she just got up, ran to the restroom, the bathroom, and came and said, for the first time it ceased. I never heard that story. I never heard that kind of, I thought it's a Bible thing. Till I said, she was probably 18. And had been flowing every day. I never heard it before. So I thought it's a Bible testimony. Just got up and ran to the and came back. I said, as you were saying it, I just believed it. And this was exactly what I was teaching. Amen. Say it with your mouth. Believe it in your heart. Say it with your mouth. Believe it in your heart. Say it with your mouth. Believe it in your heart. Say it with your mouth. Believe it in your heart. Say it with your mouth. Believe it in your heart. Hallelujah. The power of God is working. Effecting a healing and a cure. Hallelujah. You know you can believe God not to spend money on drugs. It's not a boast. It's what you believe for. You can believe God not to be on an hospital bed. You can believe God for it. Even if other people... You see, let me say something to you. That something happens to others doesn't make it the faith of God. No. No. You can believe for it. You can believe for it. I'll be talking in the second service more about receiving. Sometimes you can know how to minister what you don't receive. I believe God for it. I believe God for it. I believe for it. You know, miracles are not in your past. I'm not talking about you working miracles. You receiving it. You receiving it. You receiving it. When is the miraculous? When I believe that I receive. I believe in my heart, I say with my mouth. I believe in my heart, I say with my mouth. I believe it in my heart, I say with my mouth. God's power is working. My needs are met. My bills are paid. Now think about what the need is. It's met. It's met. My needs are met. My bills are paid. All things are possible to him that believe. I believe the power of God is working. You know you are preserved. And there's no harm that will come near your dwelling place. I believe God. I believe his power. It's working on my behalf. Hallelujah. Just believe for it. It's a miracle. And we said earlier, it is not logical. And so as you say it, you know, logic will come at you. The more education you have, the more logical you become. You just become logical. Well, I know. When people say, I believe in miracles, but just switch off. Don't hear the but. Don't hear the but. Don't hear the but. And I remember when my wife, we weren't married then, she was believing for something. I've shared this story many times. She now called me. When she called me, I was playing with someone. So she just called me. She said, well, this is what they said. So I kind of felt, take it like that now. She said, but I'm believing for something else. Before she didn't allow me to land to say what I wanted to say. I'm a pastor. She just said, I just had to tell you. And she just called the phone.
I just said,
You know, she just believed for it. And then she just called me the day after. She said, the man who had gone, he had traveled. He said he just remembered that there was something he didn't do right. All by himself. She didn't call, nobody called, and the man came back and rectified it. I said, I said, glory to God. I actually did not believe it. That's it. I didn't believe it was going to happen. I just said, this is me that taught faith. I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it. Praise God. So sometimes people not believing something is not a problem. You believe. Nobody can do the believing for you. I believe in my heart. I say with my mouth. It's not something you say on a Sunday morning. Then Sunday evening you are saying something else. I believe in my heart. I say with my mouth. Hallelujah. Say, I know how to receive miracles. I know when the miraculous is happening. That is, I am sensitive to the miraculous. Amen. Amen. You know the miraculous is here. In this service. In this service. You can believe for it. You can believe for it. You can, now, rework that logic this moment. Rework that logic. The children of Israel said, we are like grasshoppers in their sight. Who? How did they do it? What did they use to measure it? How did you know you were grasshoppers? That is logical thinking. Hallelujah. Caleb and Joshua said, we are able. God said it, I believe it. God said it, I believe it. God said it, I believe it. You know, even for your Christian walk, I don't joke with what I say about my Christian walk. There are some things I will not say. Some say, you know, the work of ministry, you know, sometimes I don't say it. I don't say, pray for me, I close. I don't say it. I just say, look, I'll be doing well. I've seen ministers who will come up and say, hey, this and this. And they will gang up. It's not, this was even 20 something years ago. They will, I'm talking about prominent people. They will gang up and say, you this boy. And I'll say to their faces, we'll be fine. By the power of God. We'll be fine. And then, of course, I didn't stop there. I remember one that told me, say, I don't think anybody is going to hear you. I said, you will be wrong, sir. I left his house and I began to walk hours, talking in other tongues and speaking God's word. Speaking God's word. You called me. And when you called me, you sent me to preach. And I'll do it. And the nations are open before me. No, you know what? The truth of the matter is that when the man said it, when I went back to church, some people heard what he said and they left the church. So it was being proven right. But I kept saying it. I kept saying it. When it comes to the power of God, you need to cooperate with what you say. Believe in your heart and say with your mouth. Believe in your heart and say with your mouth. Now, I'm not talking about any frivolous confession. Healing is God's will. God wants your needs met. Healing is God's will. Death is not God's power. So I can believe for God's power. When it comes to God's word and God's will and God's promise fulfilled in Christ and the power of God, say with your mouth, believe it in your heart. Believe it in your heart. Believe it in your heart. See, sickness won't kill you. No, you'll be healed of it. It won't kill you. No, your health is getting better. It's getting better. Your needs are met. Your bills are paid. God's power is working on your behalf. When you are sleeping, God's power is working on your behalf. When you are awake, God's power is working on your behalf. Even things that you are ignorant of, God's power is working on your behalf. You see, set your mouth right. Set your heart right. Set your words right. God's power is working. You see, talking doubts in the name of being logical never glorifies God. Say what God's power can do. What can God's power do? Say it with your mouth. Believe it in your heart. Hallelujah. When is the miraculous? when I believe in my heart and say with my mouth that God's power is here. God's power is here. God's power is here. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Just bow our heads. Amen. God's power is here. All things are possible to him that believes. All things are possible to him that believes. So I believe. So I believe. So I believe. So I believe. Don't speak with tongues. Don't speak with tongues. So I believe. So I believe. Yes, I do. What's that thing in the natural looks gone, extreme? I believe. I believe this is going to turn around. I believe this circumstance will be changed. I believe that my body receives the healing of the power of God this moment. Power of God is working on my behalf. That need is met. God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. They are met. They are met now. I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. This morning you learn to look away from the natural circumstance and look at the power of God. Take a look at the power of God. Remind yourself of past testimonies at this moment. It's worked before, it's happened before. So I judge God faithful. I judge him faithful. I judge him faithful. I judge him faithful. I remind myself of God's power. I'm not a doubter, I'm a believer. I'm not a doubter, I'm a believer. I believe in the miraculous. Yes, I believe in the miraculous. I'm not going to get logical here. I believe in the miraculous. I believe in the miraculous.